We're reading from 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 7. That's on page 1227 of the church Bibles. 'Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is God's word to us. Please open your Bibles again at 1 John. Let me quickly pray. Our Father in heaven, we are in great need of your help this evening. It is easy for our hearts to be cold and our minds to be distracted. Would you be merciful to us and help us to listen? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every day, we rely on things that we know. Every day, we rely on things that we know. So if I know that a train is leaving Enfield Chase at 11:30, then I reliably should be there before 11:30 if I expect to be on it. Some of our young people have been sitting exams. Some of them have even been revising for those exams. They've been filling their heads with knowledge, so that on the day when they turn over the exam paper, they can rely on what they know and hopefully complete the exam. Now, when I get stuck or confused here at EEFC and I'm about to make a bad call, often I will go and ask for Johnny's help. Very gently, he will say, "Can I make a suggestion?" Very often, it is a good suggestion. Not because Johnny is sinless or perfect in any way, but knowing that he is older, much older, than I am, and wiser, and has a bit more experience, and I know that he loves me, often it's wise to rely on his suggestion. What I know, I will rely upon. In fact, I can only rely upon what I know. So if I don't know when the train is coming, how can I rely on it? If I've not been to maths class all year, how can I reliably know what to revise? If I don't know Johnny, why should I listen to what he says? I can't rely on what I don't know. Knowing leads to relying. Oh, forgive me. What about our lives? What do we know that we're relying upon? What about our death? What do we know that we're relying upon? Now, I start there tonight because of what John tells Christians about the amazing love of God in verse 16. Look at it with me. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. John says that Christians are those who truly know God's love and are therefore relying on God's love. Knowing God's love leads to relying on God's love. And our passage teaches us, those of us who are Christians, that if we truly know God's love and are truly relying on God's love, then it will drive us somewhere. It will drive us to be people who show that same love towards other Christians especially. Very simply, I think these verses tonight say that as we know God's love, we're relying on God's love, and we'll show God's love. And so we're going to focus on these three things as we look at these verses together. A Christian, first of all, knows God's love. What is it that God wants us to know about his love, that we would rely on it? Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Immediately we mention that word love, we've got a problem. What is love? If I was to pass out pieces of paper to everyone and get you to write down your definition, love is, what would you write? If you're of a certain generation, you'll know that love is giving someone your last Rolo. Maybe you think love is warm affection. Or when you meet someone who gives you butterflies in your stomach, maybe you think, as our world thinks, that they often think that love is sexual passion. Is it any of these things? When John writes in verse 8 and verse 16, God is love, do any of these definitions do it justice? Well, no. You see, the love being spoken of here, it's got nothing to do with Jane Austen romance. It's got nothing to do with Rolos or sexual desire. The love being talked about here might be better defined as love of a better kind. Love of a better kind. Better than often what we think of it. Better than what our world would call love. Where does it come from? Well, we're told it comes from God. It's unique to him. It is his masterpiece. He is the source of this love, just as the sun, wherever it is the source of light in our world today. And if any of us are ever able to show this love and know this love and rely on this love, it's because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear. In saying that God is love, John isn't saying that the love is just a quality that God possesses. It's that his nature is to love. It's not just that God loves, but God is love. There is nothing that he does that is not done in love. He creates in love. He rules in love. He saves in love. And yes, he judges in love. Love is seen through all that God does. The love that God wants us to know and rely upon and show is from him alone. And did you notice that it is defined by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If you want to know the definition of this love of a better kind, think of what God did in sending the unique, the one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. Now, I wonder if you happened to notice this week that there was a referendum. Did that come to anyone's attention? Maybe a few? Well, at 7:32 on Friday morning, Jenny Watson, the chief counting officer, publicly declared that Britain had voted to leave the EU. It was Jenny Watson's job to publicly announce what had happened. The cross of the Lord Jesus publicly announces to the world, in a way that hadn't seen before, this better kind of love. It unveiled it. The curtain came down. What had been hidden was shown clearly to the whole world. Did you notice that this love, this better kind of love, acts for those who are unworthy? In sending Jesus to be crucified, it wasn't that we love God. It wasn't that we were doing our best to please him and love him and obey him. It was the opposite. We aren't devoted to him. We don't love him. We don't do what he says. I deserve not his love, but his punishment. But because of his love of a better kind, he sent his Son. He took action for someone as unworthy as me. And Jesus died, that as I trust in him, I could be forgiven of all my sins. This love of a better kind acts for the unworthy. You know that it also acts sacrificially? This love of a better kind comes at great cost to the giver. It's amazing that God should send anyone to a rebel world. But he sends his most precious Son, his one and only Son, his only child to be handed over to his enemies and stripped and beaten and crucified. If ever I doubt that God loves me, I just need to look at the cross and say, yes, yes, he does love me. He does. Do you know why the advert about the last Rolo was so powerful? It's because if you've got lots of something, you know what? It's easy to give it away. But if it's your last, if it's your only, that is costly and precious. It's hard to give away our only one. This love of a better kind acts sacrificially. But it also acts for the good of others. See, verse 9 and 10 sum up the reason why God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross. Look at verse 9. It says, that we might live through him. That's how the verse ends. Verse 10 says that this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Our sins. Those things that we do and don't do as a result of our failure to love God. Those things that we do or don't do that mean we are dead spiritually. We don't have the life God wants us to enjoy here and now or in eternity. We are the right object of God's anger against our sin. But in his great love, this love of a better kind, God planned the cross of the Lord Jesus as the means by which his right anger on my sin could be satisfied. And Jesus dies and suffers all the punishment I deserve. It is placed on him and deflected away from me. Think of Captain America's shield just for a moment, if that's, you know, something about that. He stands in the way, and if you're standing behind him, whatever gets flung at it gets deflected away. As we stand behind Jesus, trusting in his cross, God's right anger is placed on him and deflected away from us. And just as he rose 3 days later, as I trust in the Lord Jesus, I will rise to eternal life one day myself. This is God's love. How can I know that it is true for me? How can I know and be sure of this love? It's only by faith. It is only by faith. Look at verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. How can I know this love and experience all of its goodness as I admit that I have not loved God, not in any way as I should? And as I acknowledge that I need Jesus, the Son of God, to be my Savior, to be the one who is my rescuer, who forgives my sins. And as I trust in Jesus, God's Holy Spirit comes into my heart, takes up residence, and brings this love of a better kind to reality in my life. I really can know God's love personally. If you're not a Christian, do you know this love? Do you know the goodness of God's love? Do you know it personally? I would encourage you tonight, if you want to, that you would ask the Lord Jesus, that you would acknowledge that he is your Savior, that you need to trust in him, that you have sinned, that you have not loved God as you should. And as you acknowledge him as your Savior and submit your life to him as Lord, then the Spirit will come and live in you. And you will know that love personally. And you will be rescued. Love of a better kind acts for the unworthy. It acts sacrificially. It acts for the good of others. And God wants us to know it. But think again about verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. You know, a Christian isn't supposed to think, well, God loves me. That was a nice thought. Knowing God's love, I'm supposed to rely on it. That's what our verse says. A Christian relies on God's love. Now, at the moment, my newborn son needs a lot of love and attention. Of course he does. He's only 4 months old. And Tricia and I want him to grow up knowing that his mum and dad really love him. And we show him that love by telling him about Jesus. We read him Bible stories. We pray with him and for him, as well as all the other things a baby needs, like feeding and changing and getting up in the night and all those kind of things. And I'm hoping that as he grows up, he will know that he can rely on Tricia and myself to help in whatever limited way that we can. If he knows that we love him, we hope that he will know that he can rely on us now in a similar but much, much bigger and much better way. A Christian knowing that they are loved by God daily trusts that God loves them. And whatever is happening to them is part of his loving care and plan towards them. You know, it's hard for many people to think and to accept that God is love or that God loves them. We live in a broken world. There's lots of broken lives and broken hearts out there. Even as Christians, the minute something goes wrong, one of the first questions that's asked, does God love me? Does he really? Well, the answer the Bible gives is yes. Look at the cross. God does love us. And verse 17 and 18 tell us that knowing that God loves us should bring great confidence to us right now. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. To complete in verse 17 means to achieve a purpose, to achieve a purpose. A Christian knows and relies on God's love. And as they do that, God achieves the purpose that we have no fear of the day of judgment. That day at the end of the world when Jesus will gather everyone and those who have trusted in him will be welcomed into the new heavens and the new earth. Those who have rejected Jesus will face the punishment that their sin deserves with eternal hell. But knowing and relying on God's love, I can have confidence about that day because of what Jesus accomplished for me at the cross. And John expands that thought in verse 18 by saying that with the fear of judgment day gone, with the fear of that day removed, God's love, his love of a better kind, drives out all other fears. Now that phrase, perfect love drives out fear, that's often kind of quoted in, you know, greetings cards or at weddings. I don't think people realize that this is talking about the day of judgment. They think it's a nice lovey-dovey message. Perfect love drives out fear. It's talking that if we're relying on God's love now, we don't need to fear hell. If I know God loves me at the cross, and I truly do, and if I know that on that day of judgment, God loves me and I will be rescued, I don't have to fear anything right now. We may not understand all the trials and sufferings that we're going through right at this moment. We may not understand why we've been bereaved, why we're suffering unemployment or ill health, or we've maybe failed exams. Maybe we're worrying about financial burdens that are upon us. It might even be the events of this week. We might feel that we're in a long, dark tunnel all on our own, and it's scary. If you're a Christian, God loves you. God loves you. He wants you to be confident of his love tonight. And he wants you to rely on it. I wonder if one simple, practical way that shows me that I'm relying on God's love right now is prayer. Prayer. Prayer says, Lord, I'm trusting in your love to forgive my sins. It says, Lord, I am trusting that you have promised to give me exactly what I need to get through today. Lord, whatever's happening, I know that I have no strength on my own or great wisdom to sort it all out. But in your love, you will give me the grace to get through today. Lord, I'm humbly relying on you. Please take away the fears that I have. I recently read a book about a man called Martin Luther, who lived 500 years ago. He said this about prayer. Prayer is a very precious medicine. One that always helps and never fails. It shows we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And God loves it when we rely on Him. Where is that driving us towards? Well, our last point. If we know God's love, really know it, and have taken a stand upon it in faith, if we're relying on His love daily, we'll be those who show that same love towards others. Look at verse 7. John couldn't really make this clearer. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Verse 19, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. John says again and again and again, if we know God's love and rely on God's love, we will love our Christian brothers and sisters. It's impossible for those who have grasped God's love to say to another Christian, I hate you. It's impossible even to give off a whiff of that spirit and attitude. Just as we have been shown love of a better kind. Love that acts for the unworthy. Love that acts sacrificially. Love that acts for the good of others. So we must act in that same way. The Lord Jesus, on the night before He was executed, in John chapter 15, said to His disciples, love each other as I have loved you. Now, this isn't natural to us. But if we've really grasped the cross, if we've really understood the Lord Jesus, then we cannot go back to a life of selfishness. Questions of whether people deserve this love are irrelevant. Questions of whether, well, that person's not loved me very well, John says is irrelevant. Questions of how much it will cost us in terms of our time, in terms of how much effort or how much money it might cost us, John says is irrelevant. John says that we will love our brothers and sisters, never with any expectation of what we might get in return. We are those who are to be quick to forgive, quick to help, quick to care. There's to be no sense of holding any grudges, causing harm, laughing at anyone's misfortune. We love how Jesus loves. He knew I wasn't worthy, and yet He loved me. He knew that I had nothing to offer, and yet He loved me. He knew I was in trouble, and yet He loved me. Now, there's many ways to show this love. This love of a better kind is seen in speaking to someone at church, perhaps that you don't know. This love of a better kind is seen perhaps as you go with someone on a hospital appointment. This love of a better kind is seen as you meet up with someone to read your Bible and to pray with them. It's seen in giving up your evening to serve at one of the clubs, to offer someone a lift who lives out of your way. And it's seen as you invite someone to come and see who Jesus is. I read this week about a man called Arland Williams. Arland Williams. He was on board a small plane that crashed just outside of Washington in America. It landed in a river, and a rescue helicopter was sent out to look for survivors. Now, the rope went down into the water, and Arland Williams grabbed the rope and swam over and gave it to someone. They tied them up, and they winched them away. Second time the rope came down, Arland Williams grabbed the rope, tied someone up, and took them away. Third time the rope comes down, he does exactly the same thing, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. Sixth time the rope comes down. And on its way down, Arland Williams goes under the water and is dragged off. His body was later recovered. No one knew who he was. No one he rescued had met him before. He just did what he did and died. That is how we are to love one another. Being ready to lay down our lives. How can I possibly love people like that? Well, on my own, I can't. It only happens as God transforms me, as I really know God's love through the cross of the Lord Jesus. It's only as I'm relying on God's love, and that is transforming me every day to be like Jesus. Only then can I show this love of a better kind to my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, so often we have not kept this command to love each other because we don't love like you love. We want to be served and we don't want to serve. Please forgive us. Help us to know your great love. Help us to take a stand upon it by faith. Help us to rely on it every day that we would be those who love each other. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.